Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. Today, we're going to be talking about substance abuse. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the music that you hear behind my voice is soft and easy, but this is not a soft and easy subject. We have Rob here, and we have Darren here, and we're going to just get down with the nitty-gritty. We'll be right back in one moment, but we're going to be talking about substance abuse. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to King Scott Radio TV. We're back. We're going to go into this subject matter of substance abuse, and Darren is going to start us off. Go ahead, Darren.
Sure. Thank you, Pastor Scott. I want to preface my statements by saying first that I grew up in the Caribbean, so what the average American would come across in terms of substance abuse is quite different, but in a way, like, the underlying things are similar. In the Caribbean, there are two major substances that would be abused, and that would be alcohol and marijuana. As with any abuse, it's the overuse or excessive use of a substance to the point where it can become destructive or harmful to either you, the person using it, or the persons that are around you while you're using it. Like I said, in the Caribbean, it's usually weed and alcohol. A lot of it is recreational use that's taken a bit too far, or sometimes peer pressure gets you into it. There are a few other factors as well, but usually those are the main two.
Well, Rob, let's just take it with the weed, because the weed it's sort of the starting point of substance abuse, even though it could start with something different, but usually it's the weed. What do you have to say about that?
Thank you for having me on here once again. It's truly an honor. In regard to the substance abuse, I mean, I would like to say it's weed, but weed now is kind of, you know, decriminalized.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
The whole term substance abuse, to me, is just the overindulgence of anything harmful. You know what I mean? Whether it's alcohol. I mean, I started with a little wine cooler at the cookout. I don't know about y'all, but I never had weed. You know what I mean? So it could be those little things, and I feel just educating the youth and everybody on what it is that you're putting in your body and what you're doing to yourself, essentially, is what's going to start it. You know what I mean? I'm not one who is everybody has their demons. Everybody deals with their own. You know, you may smoke, or you may sip, or you might only do these things on occasions.
Right.
My whole thing is, whatever you do, just know what you're doing. They are not what they used to be.
Yep.
I was just talking to you. Crackheads used to live a long time. Not anymore. And, you know, it's not just a label, but I know people from when I was growing up who may have done crack or that fell under substance abuse, and they are still living. What's the change now? Well, they lacing it with fentanyl and everything else, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Things to try to get you more high, which is actually killing you. Yep. Every time you do these things nowadays, you're putting yourself a little closer to death. And I need my kids and my youth to know the difference.
Yep.
To know the difference, what to run away from, what to indulge in, what you shouldn't do at all. I mean, you really don't want them to do anything, but if they are educated,
they can make good decisions.
Right. Yep.
Wow. That's some real good conversation. Me personally, wine coolers, wow, I never even...
Yeah,
crossed
never thought
my
of
mind.
That.
Yeah,
I might have been
never
like,
thought of that.
Nah, you know what I mean?
And that's just something that didn't cross my mind. But the fact that I got started, and just as a side note, the person that started me with a joint is when I was younger, and let me just say this, I'm not ashamed to talk about it because I've been delivered, and being delivered gives me a degree to tell you that it's best not to go down this road.
Yep.
But the fact that God spared me and gave me an education and allowed me to be sitting where I'm sitting right now, I'm grateful. I survived the journey. But going back, I was trying to impress a young lady, and she had a joint, and she gave it to me. And I had to be the man and light it. And boy, that enacted a lot of things. My mother throwing shoes at my head and saying you can't use drugs and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, like Darren just said, it got real messy there for a while. So what we're trying to do is talk to the young men to say that there is a better way. If you can make the right choices, choose the right type of people to be around, because your friends, like I wanted to impress that young lady, sent me down a direction I didn't want to go in, but I did because of peer pressure. So you hear this term, I want to get high. Darren, you said that in your Caribbean nature, this was something different. Was it associated with a high, or did they feel like they were higher than what they actually was?
Okay, that's a really good question, and I'm glad you brought it up. So, in the Caribbean, there's a religion called Rastafarianism.
Wow, come on now.
So, as a child, you grew up seeing the Rastas smoking weed. Now, what I was told was that as part of their religion, they seek higher meditation, to be on a higher plane of life, to relax their minds at times. They use it for different purposes, but its main purpose was for their religion. So, as a child seeing that, of course, you thought it was cool, and you might have a Rastafarian uncle or cousin or some family member who would in turn introduce that same marijuana to you. And that is how a lot of the kids growing up in my time got introduced to marijuana.
So Darren, let me stop you there for a minute, because I'm getting educated. I've heard that term. I didn't know that it meant that. Yep. If someone said, I'm a
Rastafarian,
and that meant that I worship a drug that gave me more of who I wanted to be.
No, they didn't worship it, but as part of their religious beliefs, they smoked it.
Okay. So for the people who just heard that, when you hear someone say that, now you know. You heard it from a person who knows what it means. Because, I mean, I've been around for a minute, maybe a few minutes, and I've never gotten that understanding that it was something that was related to
religion.
I mean, yep. That goes to show you have to be very careful about what you get yourself into, because you go down a road that you don't want to go down. Now, okay, finish that up for us, because we need to know more.
Okay, so as part of their religion, one of the things that they used, as I said, is marijuana. Another custom in Rastafarianism is to grow your hair and not comb it. That would in turn lead it to becoming locks. So, as part of their religion, they feel as though slavery and the European culture influenced the Africans. So to combat that, one of the things they do is stop combing the hair. So that in all of it is connected. It's a very deep dive. It's a very deep dive. But for now, let's just stick to the substance part of it. So, as I said, I was introduced to weed from one of my Rastafarian uncles. I smoked it. I was told that it was for religious purposes. Now, me, as a kid, just thought it was cool that I could smoke weed and got into it. And, of course, my friends were also doing it, so I felt like, hey, like, this is probably the thing that we should be doing. But after a while, it got to a point where, okay, I'm not a Rasta, but I still like weed. So I was kind of hooked, you know. And that led to a lot of bad decisions. My grades started to slip a bit. I started to not want to do certain things. And, I mean, like, it's a really slippery slope. And it took me a long time to get past it. But, yeah, it's not impossible, but there really is a stronghold when it comes to weed in the Caribbean.
Wow, that's good. So, the next thing I want to... That covers I want to get high. I mean, we really got a whammy on that one. But Rob, when you say we want to make you feel good, what is your experience of someone saying I want you to feel good? How does that resonate in you?
So I just want to clarify. I don't think anybody ever told me to do drugs to feel good. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't think I was ever pushed. And also, let me clarify, I've never done any drugs outside of weed. So I can't really tell you, you know, what things outside of that make you feel like. However, I can tell you, if you're doing drugs to find peace or to seek anything outside of, you know, just the relaxation, the normality, just to, you know, take off a little bit, I don't know. Everybody has their reasons. But I feel like if you're doing drugs for the wrong reason, then that's where you're going to run into that wall. If you're looking for peace in drugs, you're not going to find it there.
Right.
You know, you're going to get high, still be up, you know, and be doing this for the... That'll be the cycle you'll be in.
Yep, it's temporary.
You know what I mean? It's times are changing. The drug that I once thought was a drug is now decriminalized. You know what I mean? Here soon you'll be able to go and buy it just like it's alcohol. Not saying that, not pushing anybody to do it. But my experience with drugs wasn't like your average. I went to college. and that's where it was introduced to me. You know what I mean? Mm. The wine cooler was a little different. That's, you know, you find those laying around at the cookouts. You know, you're
right,
a child.
Right,
you're
right.
You know, but the whole marijuana scene, that was influenced in college. And there was a lot of drugs going around in college. And, you know, children, I know parents, y'all influence y'all kids to go to school and be educated. If you don't educate them on what drugs is what, they'll learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm. What happens when the young people, boys and girls, see their parents doing drugs or smoking weed or something that's going to take them out of their naturalness? Darren, you said your uncle influenced you in... I mean, that's keeping it in the family.
That's exactly what's going to happen, though.
Right. And so, that being said, when you see a family member doing it, and is it something that is accepted in your psyche?
Okay. Let me just pause you there really quick. Yes, I did see an uncle doing it. However, my mom had no knowledge.
right.
I grew up in a time where it was, you do as I say, not exactly what you see, you know.
Right.
So while I was taking a chance doing that with my uncle, I couldn't let my mom find out about it because she was a Christian, and her religious beliefs don't exactly go in line with his religious beliefs.
Right, okay. You know?
So that made it something that I had to hide and do. And secondly, I was still a child, you know, so making decisions and that kind of thing, that wasn't exactly like something that was always in my hands, you know. You live with your parents, you obey your parents. So, yes, while you make some decisions, ultimately they are making the major decisions for you. Now, with that being said, I did hide and smoke. My mom probably found out when I was already a full adult, but the stages between there, like, it was kind of different, you know. I smoked, I would go and see him. The cover was, hey, I'm just going to spend some time with my uncle, so I was allowed to go and see him. But as to what we were doing, that's a completely different thing, you know. And that leads to another thing. When it comes to substance abuse, especially with kids, our parents, like we as parents, have an even bigger responsibility to just be aware of the things that are going on in your
kids'
lives.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
I for one can tell you that I hid and snuck with a lot of different things because what was set for me by my parents was very strict, so I had to hide a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that, you can't stop your kids from sneaking, but like I said, what was set before me, the kind of rules that were laid out by my parents were the reasons that I had to hide certain things because I know that they won't be accepted. Now, my mom probably could have done a better job in terms of, you know, like, be a sneak, as Pastor Scott said. Sneak around your kids, try to find out what they're doing, you know, and like be on top of certain things. But like I said, my cover was family, so I got away with it.
Well, we're going to take a break. I want you to listen to this particular song by James Brown. Some of you all remember this. It's called King Heroin. This is KingScottRadioTV.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, lady Americans, this is James Brown. I want to talk to you about one of our most deadly killers in the country today. I had a dream the other night, and I was sitting in my living room, dozed off to sleep, so I started dreaming. I dream I walked in a place, and I saw a real strange, weird object standing up talking to the people, and I found out it was heroin. Deadly drug that go in your vein. He said, I came to this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've been hunted and sought. My little white grains are nothing but waste, soft and deadly and bitter to taste. But I'm a world of power, and all know it's true. Use me once, and you'll know it too. I can make a mere schoolboy forget his books. I can make a world-famous beauty neglect her looks. I can make a good man forsake his wife, send a greedy man to prison for the rest of his life. I can make a man forsake his country and flag, make a girl sell her body for a $5 bag. Some think my adventure's a joy and a thrill, but I'll put a gun in your hand and make you trouble. In cellophane bags, I found my way to heads of state, to children at play. I finance in China, ran in Japan. I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in Siam. I take my addicts and make them steal, borrow, beg. Then they search for a band and the arm of the lady.
That's Real Talk by James Brown. He's moved on to the next life now, but this is what we're talking about. Now, let's talk a little bit about the effects of drugs. So I would like to start off when you say that drugs lead you down a bad path, because all of a sudden, as Rob said, you start doing precarious things like stealing.
Yep.
Just to get your fix on. That's what we called it back in the day, just to get your fix on. And now it's a thing where people are just straight up killing themselves. They're being eulogized by pastors like myself to talk about a life that's far too short. So Rob, when you hear that and you work with the youth, what are some of the things that you're telling them to steer them in another path more towards what you did with your life?
So I stay with the cliche, don't do drugs. I mean, that ultimately, that's the goal. You know what I mean? And if you feel, because with a lot of these kids, I don't take them home. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm not their main influence. I'm part of the influence. I'm not their main influence. So what the parents are, as we just mentioned, what the parents are exposing these kids to, what Unc might be exposing the kids to, you know what I mean?
And aunties too.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's where you battle. But mm-hmm. I try not to be cliche. I try to go a little deeper than that. And I try to tell them, listen, everybody has their own interests, okay? But it's about what sacrifice come with what you're trying to do. Can you afford these drugs that you want? Like, can you afford the weed? I mean, if you buying weed but can't afford the munchies, you shouldn't be smoking. If you can buy weed but you can't afford to get your, you shouldn't be. So it's a lot of things. So I tell them in a relative term, you know what I mean? Not from a high horse, but coming down.
Right.
Listen, make sure that everything is in place and you know what you're doing. You know, because I've met functional substance abuse people or addicts, however you want to reference them. I've met people who you would never think was on drugs and doing well for their family, but they have their demons. You know what I mean? So make sure that the things that you are indulging in isn't going to pull you down and everybody around you down.
So we talking about like the Whitney Houstons of the world, just to name.
I don't think she was functional.
Well, she functional. What does that? Functional, that you can function with narcotics in your system. Does it mean that you? Well, okay, let's choose another person. I would select Natalie Cole. Now, some of you all still remember her. Her voice never changed.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney's voice went down some,
mm-hmm.
but Natalie Cole, just another one. Rick James. You know, so many others, but the person that you're looking at, you see that something is off, something is wrong with their attitudes or their behaviors or their mannerisms. This is a strong indication that they're on something. And like Rob said, everybody has something, but it should never get to the point where it's controlling you. Now, our last topic, and I'm going to take this to Darren. Mm-hmm. What does jail, because when you steal, you have a high probability of going to jail.
Yep. Now, let me go back a bit and say, with the thing with substance abuse is the addictive nature of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So you want it all the time. You want to feel what you feel from that drug all the time. And that in turn is what leads to you making a lot of these bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Where, from, I'll give myself an example. I smoked weed. I got home from school. I did my homework. I did my little chores around the yard and stuff like that. And then I'm going to go and see my uncle. Now, it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'd just go see him a bit and then come back and do the homework.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll go see him and then I'll just cram in the morning and try to do the homework right before school. And then it would turn to a point where, like, you know what? It's not a test. It's just homework. So I'll make up the grades on the test. Like, it keeps going downward, downward, downward because I needed to smoke weed. And for some people, it's even worse than that. And it's like, hey, I need to smoke weed, so I need money to get it, but I don't have the money. But I know this friend of mine who always has money laying around, let me go see him for a bit so I can just, I'll just take a few dollars from him. He's not going to miss it.
He won't see.
And it's, like I said, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope, but it all goes downhill. And ultimately, a lot of people are in jail for stuff like this. Some people even, they started selling weed.
Yes, yes.
And it got to the point where... Okay,
the after effects of the narcotics and whatever that you're involved in. Now, those are some excellent points. And, you know, we can't cover everything. We can only give you a snapshot of the possibilities. But what the show is about more so is to educate, to give people an opportunity to hear the effects. You may still go down these roads, but at least you knew.
Yep.
You can't say that you didn't know. You didn't hear from real men talking about real subject matters and their own personal experiences. I can tell you, I was a professional herb smoker. We didn't call it marijuana. That was too many letters. We smoked herb. And when I went off to college, by the grace of God, I was able to stop and go have a healthy college life. After that, I never used drugs again. But when I say I was a professional, I use bongs. Some of the things that you see these little shops around that's popping up everywhere where they have bongs inside of them. And what a bong is a big plastic tube that you would put marijuana in or crack, whatever your choice is. Or you can choose uppers and downers, because all drugs that when you say narcotics, you can be talking about Oxycontin, you can be talking about fentanyl, you can be talking about a whole lot of things.
Pain
medication.
Yep.
I think Elvis Presley was on a lot of that, and he had professionals, doctors, giving it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So just be mindful. This show is to give you an eye-opener to what can happen. If you continue to choose and make good decisions when you get older, if you get older, because believe it or not, you're not guaranteed that. You can help yourself and help others. Be an encouragement to all of us, because all of us need all of us to get through this. So we're going to close out. We're going to give Rob an opportunity to close out and to give Darren an opportunity to say his last words. And then I will come back and plead with you. Don't get on the drugs, narcotics, and all the rest of the stuff. But Rob, go right ahead.
So if I can leave y'all with anything, I'm going to go cliche. Don't do drugs. And then parents, if you're listening, educate your children on what these drugs are. That was my safe haven. You know what I mean? Other than the fact that my mom scared to death out of me. You know what I mean? I was dead coming out and her crib smelling like weed. So I waited until I got to college. But at that time, I knew, okay, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Oh, he's smoking. No, I ain't doing that. You know what I mean? I knew what the drugs was that were killing people. and then what the drug was that was what we call recreational.
Yes.
Like alcohol, you know what I mean? And so what I didn't know was where to stop, you know what I mean? That was life lessons, okay? You so all in all, know your body, because don't think that your will is bigger than, you know, your body's craving. Like I tell you what, I learned that I had an addictive personality when I couldn't get off of Mountain Dew.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's the simple things. Yep. You might not even realize it. Like you might be addicted to Pepsi or Coke.
Yes.
Or Mountain Dew. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's those things where know yourself, know your body, and don't fool yourself. You know?
Yeah, I'd just like to echo his sentiments. But at the same time, I want to speak to both the parents and kids. First, the kids. Now, we live in a very visual age. So, mm-hmm. a lot of the things that as kids that you see, you might like or think they're cool, and you want to be a part of it. Now, it's not always good to be that way. Yes, there is peer pressure, but try and, as a person, have that inside voice and reason with yourself. You know, okay, I see them doing this, but what would my mom think? I see them doing that, but what would my dad think? And as parents as well, let me speak to the parents as well. Yes, you educate your kids, but at the same time, you still can't trust your kids. It's plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Children are, like, by nature, just trying to be defined, trying to find their own way.
Yes.
But we as parents, we still have to oversee that way. So if it means searching your kids' rooms or going in their backpacks after school, like the simple things, checking their phones,
my kids are
like
trouble.
These yeah. are very yeah. important things. Like,
tell
you
them.
Need to be aware of what your kids are doing. You can't cover them from everything, but the things that you do know, you should do.
Well, I tell you, I don't have a problem with peeking through.
Yep.
I mean, I purposely look through drawers. When I was raising my two daughters, I did everything. I would show up at school unannounced, looking through the door, seeing what my daughters are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, you can't cover them in all things, but just do the best that you can. Yeah. And when Rob mentioned the Mountain Dew, I still drink Mountain Dew. And I'm just going to share this little story with you. I had drank so much Mountain Dew because I didn't like alcohol, never liked alcohol, that I almost lost my foot.
Hmm.
I walk with a limp to this day.
Hmm.
I would drink pitchers of it, and my foot developed a hole. And so one day when I was sitting in the pulpit, my foot kept hurting, and I just thought it was something that was wrong. My shoe was too tight. Well, my foot exploded inside my shoe.
Hmm.
From that point, I went to the doctor, to the hospital, and three other people had foot injuries. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that I was the only one that came out of there with a foot?
Hmm.
Because they amputated the other three. Now you talk about a God, mercy and grace. And I'm just going to leave it there, that God can do things, you know, that's cutting it too close. So anything that has more power than you, other than Jesus, stay away from it.
Yep.
That's why it says seek him first and all other things will be added unto you. This has been another production of KingScottRadioTV.com. We're going to be back to talk about some more issues with the men. We keep it real here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.